As you turn to Job chapter 14, Job went through a lot of trials. I see a lot of patients in the hospital that are in trying times, and had a patient just this past week had an amputation. I said, but I'm glad that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He'll give you that knee, amen, that you can bow. So I'm glad we won't be maimed in heaven, amen. Let's read what Job says in Job chapter 14, verse number 14. Just one verse of scripture tonight. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Isn't that something? We know a lot about Job. We read a lot about Job, and we can relate to Job. We talk about the trials and the sufferings that Job went through. But the Bible said in Job chapter 1, verse number 1, that Job was a perfect and an upright man. He was a man that feared God and eschewed evil. So was Job going through all these trials because he did something wrong? No, he's going through these trials because he's living for God. Amen. And it put the devil in his crosshairs. God said to him, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Ain't you glad that you can be a child of God, a servant of God? And you got to watch out for these people that preach health and wealth and prosperity gospel. It's not true. But Job is going through these things as you read the book of Job because he's in the will of God. And trial after trial comes into his life. I encourage you to go back and listen to Pastor Vinoy's messages on the trying of your faith in Hebrews chapter 11 and the evidence of things hoped for, you know, the substance of things not seen. Amen. It's good to study that. But here we get to this point where Job is in his trials. And in Job chapter 14, verse number 14, he asks this question, and this is the title for the message this evening. If a man die, shall he live again? If a man die, shall he live again? I've been in the ICU unit, Brother Dale, where I work at the hospital. And there's a lot of patients that will come to the end of life's way. And I get to see them one day, and the next day they say, we don't need physical therapy anymore because they're about to check out and go on into eternity. And there's nothing that will sober you about the end of our lives more than seeing people die day in and day out. Walking through that area is very humbling. And I believe Job got to a point in his life where he started to question. He asked God a question. If a man die, shall he live again? If you ask mankind this question, you'll get a lot of answers. I've talked to people that would say, I believe that if you die, that's it. That you die just like old Fido, your dog or your cat or a possum or an ant. There's just nothing else. And you be careful who you ask. What happens when you die, because man's wrong. God's always right. Man's wrong. They say there's no afterlife, but that's wrong. Man's made up of three parts. How many believe this? Body, soul, and spirit. And when we die, our soul lives on. Amen. And I believe that. Amen. Some say when you die, you're not annihilated, but rather you're reincarnated. I work with some people of the Middle Eastern heritage where they say that they don't eat the meats because they're afraid they're going to eat their Aunt Betty that died. Amen. If they eat a steak or something, and they know I'm a meat eater. Amen. They look at me kind of funny. But I said, no, there's no such thing as reincarnation. I don't believe in that. There's some people that believe when you die, you'll come back as some type of a higher form. Maybe you'll live such a good life that you'll go into a plateau status, a higher status, until you become like a G-O-D, little G-O-D. But that's not the case. Some say that when you die, you'll enter a state of purgatory where you'll begin to pay for your sins while your family and friends begin to pray and pay you out of that purgatory into heaven. And that's not the case. I've been in funerals. Love Brother Steve Benton, and he walked over to me at one of the funerals we were part of, and he said, "Can you believe, Brother Brian, that some people, most of these people that die, they always preach they all go to heaven, that all roads lead to heaven some way?" And I said, it's no wonder why they do that, because even the liberals try not to talk about that place called hell, and they want to teach all roads lead to heaven. But if a man die, shall he live again? And I want you to know this tonight. We're not going to lean on what man says tonight. We're going to lean on what thus saith the Lord in His Word. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. While you're turning there, Although we don't know everything that happens when a man dies, we do know some things. The Word of God gives us enlightenment to some things about death and what's beyond. And there is, first of all, we see an appointment to death. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." You know, the Bible teaches this, that all men die. There is a certainty to this appointment with death. And some said death is certain. There's two things certain in life, somebody said the other day. Death and taxes. I said, well, that's not entirely true. They said, why? I said, because some people cheat and get out of their taxes. But there ain't one single person that'll cheat and get out of death. Because as it is appointed that a man wants to die, after this, the judgment. Even the atheists agree on this first point. Death is certain. Even Job in their text said he was awaiting his appointed time. I want to say this, and I don't want it to sound morbid, but all men die. All women die. When I work with my doctors, there's a 100% chance that patient's going to die. That doctor's going to die. I'm going to die. That radiologist is going to die. That lab worker's going to die. This family member, this volunteer, we're all going to die. We have an appointment with death. Whenever I started over at Holston Valley, many of you may know Clifford Lawson. He sung with the True Faith Quartet. And he was a physical therapist tech at Holston Valley for many years. And he actually got me the job there. He invited me to come. And I met the manager. And I got on there at Holston Valley. And every morning I'd clock into work. Clifford would have the newspaper out and he'd be reading it. And I got real curious one day what he was looking at so intently every morning. I mean, every morning, if he would pick up an extra day, he never failed to have the newspaper. Can you guess what he was looking at in the newspaper? The obituaries. And he jokingly would say, "I'm looking, making sure I'm not in there." And I would laugh, Brother Dale. But what he would really mean was these patients that we cared for over the years, we've tried our best to lengthen their days and help them. The Bible says exercise profiteth little, right? It profiteth a little bit. But you can't keep this appointment with death from happening. And one day we're going to check out and you look at those obituaries and eventually people we know are going to be in there. And Ecclesiastes 7:2 says this, "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart." You know what the Word of God is saying there? That it's better for us to go to the funeral home than to go to a restaurant. Why do you think that is? Because it causes you to think about the end of life. It causes you to think about eternity. And I know that that is a reality. Whenever doctors gathered around my patient yesterday, I was in there doing a little bit of exercise and the patient wasn't doing too well. And the family asked the doctor, "Well, do you think Mama's going to make it?" And I've heard them say, "Do you think Daddy's going to make it?" Different ones. But this particular doctor said to the family, "Well, I know that they're going to go, but I don't know when. Only God knows that." I said, I like this doctor because he says he knows who's in control, and it's God. We don't know how long. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 90, verse number 9 and 10, "For all of our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." You know, I think that's so important that we get a hold of this tonight, that the Bible says that we spend our days as a tale that's told. It just goes by so quick. In another portion of Scripture, it says, "Life is like a vapor. It appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away." When you get into these average numbers here, he says, 80 years. A score is 20 years. So 80 years would be 70 years. And if by reason of strength, 80 years, which would be 80 years. But I want to say this. This is a reality and a sobering thought that we all have a certain number of minutes allotted to us by the Lord, a certain amount of days, a certain amount of months, a certain amount of years, and then we're going to be called out of here. You'll face eternity one day. All of us will die and face eternity. Somebody asked, well, what was the cause of death? Well, somebody might have passed away from pneumonia or cancer or murdered or something. But you know what? I believe we all will die because not just cancers, heart attacks, illnesses, accidents, murders, and so on. But no matter what we die from, we must face death and with its pain and sorrow. And to find this answer of why, what is the cause of death, we have to go all the way back to the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis. And what happened there? God created Adam and Eve, and He made them perfect and put them in the Garden of Eden. And He said, the day that thou shalt eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And what did they do? Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God, and they ate of that the fruit of that forbidden tree, and they disobeyed God. They sinned against God. And what happened for Romans 6:23, for the wages of what? S-I-N. What's the cause of death? S-I-N. Sin. The wages of sin is death. Somebody said, boy, the Word of God was really good at the beginning, right? When we were created, but then it didn't take long for sin to be introduced into the human race. And then you go get over to Genesis chapter 5, and you read, so-and-so begat so-and-so, and he died. So-and-so begat so-and-so, and he died. So-and-so begat so-and-so, and he died, and so on and so forth. So the reason why we all die is that we're all sinners. How do we know that we're all sinners? Because right now, we're dying. One day, it's because I was born in sin. Somebody said, was anybody not born in sin? The only one that was born perfectly was the Lord Jesus Christ. But the psalmist said it of all of us outside of Him in Psalm 51, verse number 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You know why your great-great-grandmother died? Because of sin. You know why your grandparents die? Because of sin. You know why you're going to die and your family's going to die? Because of sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We must know this truth that we've all sinned. There's nobody excluded from this. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I was talking to my kids one day about people that had died and they're under cryogenics, with hopes that one day they'll be able to be brought back to life, Brother Dale. But you know what? They've already faced eternity. And that there'll not be that again for them to walk this walk of life. They've already finished the course. And they've already split eternity wide open. You know, in this text, I think it's important that we go back and think, well, what's Job going through when he gets to Job chapter 14, verse number 14? Well, he'd already been to 10 funerals. I'll tell you, there's been weeks. One time, Pastor Fletcher over at Good Shepherd, I was helping him out. He said, I'm going to take a vacation for a week. He always hated to take time off. And you know how they feel, a good pastor. Even Pastor Vinoy, he was going to be gone this week. And you could tell he felt guilty, but he needed some time. And he was going to go visit. And I was thinking about that one week Pastor Fletcher was gone. We had funeral after funeral, after funeral. And they called Pastor, and I called Pastor. And you know who they wanted to preach the funeral? They said, don't bring Pastor Fletcher back. You go ahead and do it, Brother Brian. So I preached funeral, after funeral, after funeral. And you know what? As we were doing that, you see the grief that is in the family. I tell you, even the director, Brother Brent Warner, cried on my shoulder. He said, as if that wasn't enough, these funerals coming in, he said, my wife just got diagnosed with breast cancer. And I prayed for her that God would touch her. And in a turn of events, he died of cancer. And she is outliving him. We don't know how things are going to pan out, Brother Dale. But you look grief right in the eye, and it'll cause you to think, if a man die, will he live again? Job is saying, I just had 10 funerals. 7 sons died. Three daughters died, and I wonder, is my boys, are my girls alive? When am I going to die? When I die, will I live again? What is this thing that we call death? What's after death? Is death real? What is going on? And to add insult to injury, he's got a plague that he's fighting in his flesh that is making him feel weak and vulnerable. He's got his friends around, and were they very encouraging? No, they were discouraging more than anything. And so he's down in this valley of despair, and he says, if a man die, shall he live again? And the question remains, where shall a man die? Or where shall a man live after he dies? Secondly, there is an afterlife after death. There are many thoughts about the afterlife, but the Bible only gives us two options where we go when we die. Number one, we either have the hope of heaven that awaits, or the horrors of hell. One of two. But we can die not without hope. We can have hope in Christ Jesus because He came and He died and He rose again for us. So if a man dies, can he live again? The answer is a resounding yes. You will live again. If you're saved, you'll go to live with the Lord in heaven forever. I want to say this, that heaven is a real place. Hey, there are real people around a real throne worshiping a real God tonight because heaven is real. And you know, there's rejoicing in the presence of real angels right now. As somebody said, do you believe heaven is real? I believe heaven is real. And I don't have to read a book about someone's near-death experience to know that it's real. Why? Because I have the Word of God to tell me that it's real. Jesus said of Himself in John chapter 14, verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. Amen. Verse number 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm thankful that God wants me to be with Him, that His Son loves me so much that He don't want me to die and go to that awful place called hell, but He wants me to die and spend eternity with Him in heaven. I thank God that He loves me that much, that He told me in His Word that He loves me that much, and the place for me that He desires for me to go is heaven and not hell. I'm thankful for that. Heaven's not just some galaxy far, far away. It's a real place with real people and a real Savior. It's a real hope that we have of mankind. It's been said that we're in the land of the living, headed toward the land of the dying. But that's untrue. We're in the land of the dying, headed to the land of the living. Amen. And if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you die, there's a real place called hell that all of the wicked will go to. During Jesus' earthly ministry, He spoke more about hell than He did about heaven. As a matter of fact, all the things that we preach and declare unto you, most of it we know from the words of Christ. He told us about that. He told us about hell being real. And not only that, but the horrors of hell are real as well. Whenever you study about the horrors of hell, you look in Luke chapter 16 and you read about the rich man that died. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. In hell, my friends, there's great sorrow. There's great suffering. And there's great pain. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Can you imagine? Imagine such a place. In hell today, the rich man is still lifting up his eyes. And what makes hell so awful and so horrific is that the rich man could see across the great gulf, and he could see Lazarus in Abraham's bosom being comforted while he was in torment. You see, in hell, the rich man had his sight. The rich man could lift up his eyes and see. He had his touch. He could feel the flames and the torments. He had his taste. He said, if he could just touch his finger in water and touch to my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. He had feelings. He had his intellect. He had his emotions. And he even had his ties to his family. He said, they need somebody to go back from the dead because I have 5 brothers that are going to be here before long unless somebody come back from the dead and tell them. And what was the response? They have Moses and the prophets. You know, we're all looking for some grand thing, but the grand thing is the Word of God that's forever settled in heaven. Somebody said, what's Moses and the prophets? It's the Word of God. Amen. Moses wrote most of that beginning of the New Testament. And we have the Word of God. We know where the beginning of mankind came from. We know where the beginning of sin came from. We know a lot of things, amen, because God told us. But I'm glad it doesn't end there, because when we get over into the New Testament, the four books of the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I'm glad that He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Paul said, woe be unto me if I preach not the gospel. What's the gospel? He wanted to preach about the one that John pointed at. Said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He knew we were dead in their trespasses and sins, sinking low in the muck and mire of sin. But He said in the Old Testament, I'm going to send the Messiah who will save His people from their sin. And He stepped off of the pages of God's Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And He was born a perfect birth. He was laid in that manger. And He lived a perfect life. And He offered Himself on the cross of Calvary. They said, behold, I find no fault in that man. He who knew no sin was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He took upon Himself the sins of the whole world. He died the just for the unjust. He cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then He eventually cried, it is finished. And He gave up the ghost. There was a great earthquake, and the veil was rent from top to bottom. And it's as though God Himself is inviting us to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. I thank God that He didn't stay dead, though. Jesus was buried in the tomb. And I thank God when they went on the third and glorious day. Hey, He's alive. Amen. The Bible said He ever liveth to make intercession for you and I. But you don't just have to take a word for it of a disciple. He showed Himself to more than 500 witnesses. I tell you, if we had a court case today, I tell you, there's enough evidence. That's what they've been talking. The evidence of things. Not there's enough evidence to prove that He is who He says He is. He done what He'd say He'd do. And He gone. And He presented the sacrifice before the Father. There was a moment whenever they wanted to get a hold of Him. He said, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But you know how I know that He presented the sacrifice before the Father? Because there's another point where He appeared and Thomas was struggling with doubt. He said, put your hands right here. And He said, my Lord, my God. Oh, that's a whole sermon in itself. From touch me not to touch me. Amen. But the blood is on the mercy seat of God, pleading their case, crying out for mercy time and time again. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 13 through 14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And listen, many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few, ain't that sad, few there be that find it. A lot of people say, you think a lot of people's going to heaven? I believe that these aborted babies are going to heaven. I believe these children that die before the age of accountability, I don't know. I believe, and these special needs children that can't have the faculties of intellect, God has mercy on them. I tell you, thank God for that. We had a Sunday school class for young married couples, and one day we got talking about a time of war when these heathen nations get bombed and there's war. And that somebody brought up, isn't that a mercy on them kids that was going to be raised up to be pagan and they get to go to heaven? That's like, wow, this is profound. It's crazy. But we want to reach the world for Jesus. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I don't want anybody to die and go to hell. I don't. There's some mean patients, Miss Eve, that we try to render care to. And I signed up to render care. They said, do you render care to the Vietnamese? I do. The Japanese? I do. The Chinese? I do. The Hispanics? I do. The American people? I do. The rich, the poor, the male or female, I render care to all people because I love people. And I don't just love people like healthcare workers love people. But there's something been shed abroad in my heart through the salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ brought to my life, that I want to love people like He loves people and see them not just as a sinner, just being, I want to see them as having a soul that's going to go into eternity, and I want them to meet the Savior that changed my life forever. As a 12-year-old boy, January 12th, 1992, He convicted me of sin and showed me my need to repent, and I believed, and I repented, and I believed that He did all that for me, and I asked Him to come into my life and change me forever, and He forgave me that day, and I'm not ashamed of Him. He said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. I'm not ashamed of the God that I serve. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed to admit that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. I'm glad that the remedy is in Jesus Christ. He offered His blood once and for all. He'll never have to reprise His role. I remember when I was a kid, we had a few Easter plays here, but one time Preacher Jack said, I don't like doing that because Jesus offered Himself once and for all for the sins of the world. And we don't have to do it year after year, not like them sacrifices, but thank God by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, it's offered once and for all. It's under the blood, amen. Thank God for that. And we want to render care to all people to see that the message is shed abroad and that they have a chance to know Him. Amen. Somebody said, doth not nature itself prove there is a God? I've heard people that got saved that never heard a message get up and say, look at this sunrise. Look at this sunset. There's got to be a God. Then some little missionary come out and say, let me tell you about Him. Kind of reminds me of Paul when they had that to the unknown God inscription on that. He said, let me tell you about the one true God that you may know. He's not like a made of stone with eyes that can't see. He's not made of stone with ears that can't hear. I'm glad we have a high priest who's touched with the very feelings of our infirmities. That's the God that I present to you today. He's very much alive and well today. I'm thankful that there's a way. Amen. To get to heaven. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Lastly, there's an atonement in death. We've already touched on this quite a bit, but Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, so that all have sinned. Verse number 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Christ Jesus, hath abounded unto many. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, that's Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. Now, for the wages of sin is death in Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I'm glad somebody said I was looking for the Lord. The Lord wasn't lost, but He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came a-looking for me. My mom was trying to talk to me about the Lord that day, January 12th. I'll never forget it, Miss Eve. And I said, Mom, I'm under so much conviction right now. I need to get on my knees and get saved. She said, I thought you got saved when you was a five-year-old. I said, I got down there with Uncle Gus and everybody else, and everybody was praying for me, but I just kind of sat there in a lull, heard everybody praying, but I didn't ask Him to forgive me. And I know I need to personally do business with the Lord. He's convicted me. I want to receive His gift and repent. I know I'm a sinner. And Preacher Jack had been preaching on hell. And it doesn't matter what anybody else knows. It matters what God knows about me. And I'm going to come clean before God. And I don't want to die and go to hell. And everybody said, oh, this kid's in heaven. This kid. I want the reality of knowing Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want it settled that I may know Him. It's what the Apostle Paul said. I know Him. I don't just know about Him. I heard a lot about Him at Bible Way Church. I heard a lot about Him at Kingsport Christian School. I heard a lot about Him from my mom and dad. But I needed to know Him. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. Too many people today is trying to turn over a new leaf. They're trying to live a life of, to do rights or to do betters. But you know what? You can't do it. If you could have done it, Jesus Christ would have stayed in heaven and wouldn't have had to come die on the cross of Calvary. He didn't die for everybody but Michael or everybody but Brian. For God so loved the world, that's everybody, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's everybody, whosoever that believeth Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever means whosoever.
Amen.
If you're here tonight, you're whosoever. He died for you because He loved you. Not because He had to, but because He loved you. And Calvary wasn't an afterthought with God. It was always plan A. He knew before the very first sin, before the foundation of the world, He was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Ain't you thankful for that? But think about this thought. Mark 8:36 through 37. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? I thought about this. Some people live for carnal things. They want to live for riches. They want to boast in their self-righteousness. But the Bible says all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Talks about riches, where moth and dust thus corrupt. But I thank God what He has is precious, powerful, spotless, perfect blood that'll be applied to your account for all eternity. And it will not corrupt. I tell you, where your treasure is where your heart is. You know where my treasure is? It's in heaven. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that we're going to an incorruptible place, serving an incorruptible, perfect, pure Savior that's got that blood applied to my account. And it's all under the blood, amen. And the stuff that people kill for here, it's the asphalt in that city. The streets of gold, gates of pearl, walls of jasper, and the Lord Himself, the light of the city. The crystal river flowing by. You know, whenever Christopher Columbus, he discovered America. Did you know that? Somebody's like, I didn't know that. No, I'm kidding. I hope you listened in school. But he died. We've been talking about everybody dying. Did you know he died? And when he died in 1506, they made a commemorative statue. And if you were to see the commemorative statue, Brother Gary, there's a lion taking a swipe at the first of three words. Those three words are in Latin. If you were to read them, you would have a hard time reading it. But the lion is knocking the first of the three words away. You know what those three words are? No more beyond. Whew. He knocked away no and left. There's more beyond. More beyond. You get that? Some people may say in this world, there's no more. This is as good as it gets. But they're wrong. There's more to come. More beyond. The best is yet to come. And when we get reunited with our loved ones, I remember when Preacher Jack had that heart attack and he looked up, he said, well, looky there, Geraldine. What did he see? Amen. But we're going to all enjoy it one day to be in the presence of God. So you go to the end of Job chapter 42, verse number 17. You read that last verse. So Job died being old and full of days. He had an end. But he's with the Lord, isn't he? Isn't that good? James 5:11 mentions him over in the New Testament. James 5:11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and of seeing the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. I don't know what trials are going through, and you may have gotten to a point in your life like Job did, where he said, if a man die, shall he live again. But he said later on in his life, he said, in my flesh, that is, in my flesh shall I see the Lord, didn't he? He said, with these eyes I shall see the Lord. And I believe in a bodily resurrection. You know, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. And whenever these bodies get laid in the ground, one day that which was sown in corruption is going to be raised up incorruptible. And that which was sown in mortality shall be raised up in immortality. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I love that. When I go to the grave and they say, well, you want to share a word of encouragement? I said, in the old days, they used to take a little handful of that dirt, throw it on there. Now family members get mad. Don't you put that in there. That's going to mess up granddaddy. No. This is just the shell. But that's a hope chest right there, because one day something's going to go on in the graveyard that this world ain't ever seen. These things are going to burst. Knee replacements, hip replacements, pacemakers flying everywhere. But that body's going to be changed. Somebody said, well, what about us who are saved and alive at the moment? In the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed and caught up together with the Lord and them in the air. What a rapturous time that's going to be. One guy said, I've got a bad gallbladder. I'll either go by way of the rapture or by way of the rupture. I thought, man, well, you're ready to go, brother. And I thought, man, it pays to be ready. You may be thinking, I'm going to wait for a week. I'm going to wait for a month. I'm going to wait for a year. You don't know when that appointment time is. I don't know. And if you're here tonight, you may say, this is an unusual message for a Wednesday night crowd. But for us who are saved, we need to call our loved ones, our neighbors, our family, our friends, and invite them to the house of God. We need to tell them about Jesus. We need to encourage them to come to know Him before it's too late. And get them under the gospel. Give them a tract. Tell them about Jesus. Share Him before it's too late. Because there's still a little time, I believe, for some people. There's still a little bit of time. I don't know how much time, but while this day, let's work for... what was it, Preacher Rightly Sailing used to say? We'll work till the sun goes down, and then He'll call us home, and then we'll cease from our labors. I hope and pray that's been a little blessing to you. Let's all stand to our feet.